Music. 2SER 107.3.
Good morning, this is 2SER 107.3 and you are listening to The Vulture's Nest. Each week here in The Vulture's Nest, we pick apart some of the news and culture of the week. Thank you very much to Andrew Popel for another invigorating instalment of Final Draft. This week in The Nest, I'm Sean Morahan and my guests are David Polterak. Good morning and welcome, David.
Good morning, Sean.
And Peter Gleeson.
Good morning, Sean.
G'day. So later in the program, what's in a name? We're going to talk about the importance of names and an unusual request about a name that made its way into the news this week. But before we do, come with me on a little journey to Russia, guys. Have you ever, either of you, been to Russia?
No.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Missed by that much.
Well, the story that comes to us from Russia this week is about magic. There's a man in Siberia who's won hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of rubles.
Yeah.
Which, so, tens of dollars.
I just did a quick calculation before we went to air. It's about $2,000.
Yeah. What's that in Zimbabwe?
About a billion.
He got compensation after a magician failed to make his estranged wife return.
Mm.
So the man is from the city of Omsk. The story was reported in a government-owned news publication.
Is there any other kind of news publications in Russia?
There may be these days. I don't know how popular they are, and maybe that's another story for next week.
Yeah.
Pete, if you want to write it up for us.
What a surprise.
The man saw a TV advertisement. It promised to return your wife or loved woman and also remove various types of curses. So he contacted the organisation, they signed a contract and charged him some money. And, yeah, I think after a while he realised that, hey, this isn't working. Maybe I need to call on some other sort of magic called legislators to see what we can be done about this. So the story continues to report there's a massive market in these services, such as love spells in Russia, which is attributed to the popularity of psychic challenge TV shows and things like that.
And living in Russia. I'm surprised the in the first instance, the what caught my attention was the astute marketing of the TV magician who said that he could return your loved woman.
Yes.
I mean, he obviously knows where his market is.
Yeah.
I also wondered why the guy who bought those services didn't just go to the first magician who made his wife disappear in the first place.
Ah, and say, reverse the trick, please.
Reverse the trick, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a rabbit now, I want my wife.
Well, taking a step back for a moment, can I ask you both, have either of you had any experience with magic? Even as a kid, can you remember your first experience of magic?
Yeah, well, I used to love doing magic tricks, and I could...
I thought I recognised you from late night TV.
I could make an egg disappear in an egg cup. Thank you, Widows, for that trick.
Was that the name of the magic organisation?
Well, there used to be. There was this great magic shop in a great arcade that no longer exists called Piccadilly Arcade.
Right.
And as a kid, I would catch a train to the city and just go to Widows because it just had everything I wanted as a kid in terms of magic and other things like fake vomit.
Oh, yes.
You know, plastic dog poo, fire bombs.
Plastic dog poo, plastic ink spills, you know, all the stuff that you could get a giggle out of your friends with for 2 minutes.
How about you, Pete? Any experience with magic as a kid?
I used to do that pencil trick that the Amazing Jonathan done.
Yeah.
You know, where he'd sort of stick it up his nose and pull it out his ear and out the mouth and, that one.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, we
give me a pencil.
It's a microphone adapter. Can you do it with that?
It's great. Some audio magic.
Radio. Oh.
Wow, you should have seen that, listeners.
Magic.
That it was reasonably impressive. I think you've got the muscle memory there. That's good. Hopefully it won't affect Have you got the pen out of your mouth now and out of your nose?
It's all good.
Still what do we do to stop the bleeding, Sean?
That's a part of the trick. Don't worry about it.
I just want to make sure. Actually, yeah, I've seen that documentary about Amazing Jonathan recently on YouTube. And, yeah.
It's always amazing. Go watch it, people.
Yeah. Little shout out there for...
Yeah, well, when you haven't got your pencil case, you know, what better place to keep your pencils than your head?
Up your nose.
Yes. So whether or not you saw The Amazing Jonathan, particularly in Australia on Hey Hey,
that's
where
Saturday. I used to see him, yep.
Yeah.
In the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, there's a great documentary about his life and some of his challenges on YouTube at the moment that a few of us have seen. It's called Always Amazing. So if you just go to YouTube and look up Always Amazing, it's a... Particularly if you like either comedy or magic or both, it's a very entertaining movie.
Challenges as in people challenge him to do things, magical?
Oh, no. No, challenges he's faced in his life.
Oh, personal challenges, separate to
personal challenges. What to do with all his millions?
Well, mostly self-inflicted challenges, to be fair.
Yeah.
Those sorts
Let's not give away too many of his secrets, though.
Back to Russia, back to Omsk. Here we are in Omsk.
Well, even keeping it personal with you guys, have you ever been desperate for a fix to a problem in your life? So have you had something... A tragedy or a calamity or an unbearable situation that you're desperately looking for an external solution for that might make you susceptible to this, maybe to not to this extent, but maybe susceptible to non-benevolent outside help.
Yeah.
It was pretty sad when my dog died, but I didn't think about getting a magician to bring him back to life.
Right.
I just kind of went, oh, that's happened and... was sad for about a week, and then I was good again.
Okay.
Yeah, I might have, when I was very young, prayed just as a habitual thing that I learned from Sunday school, but I can't remember actually wishing for anything to reverse in the known physical world as it happened to me, like a departed pet.
Yep.
I just accepted that, you know, sometimes life sucks and you've got to move on.
Okay, so other than the geographical difference between you and a man living in Russia, what do you think would be the substantial differences that might make him more susceptible to this than you are?
Well, I suppose they've got, like you said, there's a lot of ads on television for these people, so it's more in front of his face in the culture over there, where here it's not so much of a thing. Like, we don't have ads on TV for psychics going, we can bring your loved ones back, which I'm sure the hit rate must be pretty low.
We do have ads for psychics on late night TV.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys do after a gig on...
Yeah, but they're not saying we can bring your wife back from...
No, they stop short of that.
They're a lot more vague and horoscopy about it.
Yeah, we'll try to contact people on the other side.
Yeah, we'll talk to them for you, but we won't actually bring them back.
It's up to them whether they want to return.
And this guy, do we know if this guy's wife had died or she just left him?
Yeah, we didn't know the circumstances of her departure, did we?
The way it's worded, it does imply that she had just left him.
She just left
him.
Yeah, no magic involved. She just walked out the door.
He wasn't looking for any religious miracles. It was more,
Maybe he
just
knew
baby,
it wasn't...
Maybe come back.
Maybe he knew it wasn't going to work and he was just after $2,000.
Did he get more than what he paid out initially? Or was it just, did he get the money back?
Let's see. No, it looks like there was compensation. So
there was a premium.
Yes,
right. Okay, he's a smart dude.
Yeah, like he's like, this isn't going to work.
It's a new scam.
Yeah, yeah. To be fair, from what I know, Russians have a sort of like a pretty deep well of mysticism in their culture, much more than we do. And so I can imagine that they're probably more susceptible to those kind of blandishments than we would be. I think Australians are generally pretty cynical and sceptical of that sort of stuff. Although, like you say, there's probably a fringe that would be into it and would be into faith healing and all that sort of stuff. But I think Russians would go for it in a much bigger way.
Yeah.
Especially if you lived in Siberia.
Could be. Although the internet's pretty ubiquitous these days. Most people have got access to the internet.
That's true.
You could probably Google some of these things and check the validity of them, and I think that's something that's probably been bypassed in the situation of this gentleman. Bearing in mind, too, people who do get scammed, even in Australia, I'd see a few scam things come up in my Facebook, including scam reports from the ACCC and things like that.
Wow.
Ooh. So people are still susceptible to them, even with the internet. In fact, the internet is often the vehicle to deliver a lot of these scams.
I mean, is it like TripAdvisor with this guy's, with the, this magic site, do you think, would have had testimonials from happy customers? Maybe they were a scam. Maybe the guy, the customer saw the website and thought, wow, look, you know, he's brought back, you know, ex-wives. He could do it. Maybe he could do it for me too.
And maybe they were magically written in advance, those testimonials.
Yeah, yeah.
They were prescient testimonials of happy customers we yet to have.
Yeah, yeah.
So, which just proves how that we do have magical powers.
Yeah.
The fact that we've got these testimonials before they were even written by our customers.
Well, I mean, the internet's kind of magic itself anyway.
Okay. So overall, do you believe in any sort of magic?
What's that quote? Magic is just science we haven't worked out yet.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember who it was, but
Arthur C. Clarke, I think.
Yeah, something like that, one of those guys.
Yeah, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
From magic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you believe in any sufficiently advanced technology?
Like moon landings.
Are you one of those people who believe in the moon?
No, not at all. But that disc that's up there in the sky.
That's just a bat signal.
Well, so just getting back to that, is that the box that you put it in, Pete? If you've got something you're confronted with, you can't work out how it happens, do you just put it in, okay, that's either some technology or some information or something I don't have yet?
I'm quite happy to not understand things. Like, just not understanding it is just as satisfying as just going, oh, well, it's just magic. Because just saying something is magic, like, you don't understand magic, that's just putting a label on something you don't understand.
Okay.
That's just sort of being lazy and going, oh, that's magic, now I don't have to think about it. Instead of going, hey, I don't get it, let's investigate it.
Okay, so it's just convenient labelling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just lazy people
who spend as much money printing different labels. It's just the same label goes on lots of different stuff.
I'll put that in the magic box and I don't have to worry about it.
Okay. It's also very egocentric, this idea that, well, if I don't understand it, then the explanation must be magic. Because I'm too thick to bother
trying. Anything beyond my understanding
is magic.
Is a miracle, yeah. Good point. I've just noticed as well recently that I think they're coming up for an Australian tour, but the American magicians Penn and Teller. And are you both familiar with Penn and Teller?
Mm. Yeah, they're great.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. So one of the things they do, even though they get categorised as professional magicians, they say what we're doing is not magic. In fact, they'll even deliberately sometimes reveal the tricks as part of the entertainment, how the trick's done.
That's clever. Yeah.
They'll reveal it and then they'll do something, the same sort of trick in another way, and go, wait a minute, what?
And then, that tops it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen their magic show, which is like The Voice, where they...
Yeah, Penn and Teller Fool Us, where someone's going to try and do a trick that they don't understand.
Yeah, and they just know it all. They know all the variations. They know the whys and wherefores and their variations on whatever the performers do in front of them. It's quite fascinating to watch because clearly they're experts in their field.
Yeah.
And they could bring back a wife, I'm sure.
But maybe only on stage.
Maybe only on stage.
Yeah.
Maybe not your wife, maybe not the one you wanted, but a wife.
So, and I think they are quite vocal about, well, one of them in particular, because one of them is either mute or plays mute, but one of them in particular
Penn's very vocal, Teller not so much.
Yeah, but Penn talks about their ethics and their morals in what they do, the fact that they tell people up front, this is not magic, this is not mystical, we don't have any special powers, we've just got skills we've developed over decades.
And the subtext is we're not David Copperfield. We're not David
Copperfield. Well, I think there is a slight jive in there at a lot of the other magicians that, you know, it's casting a little bit of shadow on throwing some shade their way.
Mm.
But is there a place for soothsaying, you know, for people just needing someone to tell them that everything's going to be all right, someone with authority that perhaps, you know, has the authority to even perhaps persuade you to take some money out of your wallet?
Well, I guess it depends where that money goes.
I think we know it's going to the soothsayer, isn't it?
Well, good, because Penn and Teller, they provide entertainment, and I'm sure people come away from their shows, you know, their live shows and maybe even their TV shows, feeling better.
Entertained.
Could it be argued that this Russian guy is just doing the same? He's entertaining you, maybe with the hope that your wife will come back until such time as you come to terms with the fact that she isn't coming back.
And the money you spend was worth it for the entertainment value and the just the feeling of having that hope possibly fulfilled until it's dashed. Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to ask this guy in Omsk.
What do you think, Pete? Do you think there's any entertainment value? Could it be argued that there's entertainment value in what he does?
For people outside watching it like us, yeah, it's pretty funny.
We're very entertained.
For the guy who hasn't got his wife back, I'm not sure.
Okay. Right. So you're a little bit sceptical of that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's said that gambling is a tax on stupidity. Do you think this sort of magic could be as well?
I think so. Except it's not a tax. It's not going into internal revenue.
Okay, good point.
Yeah,
and if the income is not declared,
it's not. Yeah, I'm sure it's cash in hand.
Okay. What do you think, Pete? Do you think there's an element of stupidity in this? That there's one born every minute. That.
Yeah, I guess sort of stupidity, but also like you're probably not in your normal state of mind when you're sort of in a bit of grief over someone disappearing, or whatever. You might not be thinking the way you normally would.
Yeah, good point.
So they definitely are being taken advantage of.
It gets very close to the whole, you touched on it earlier, the whole, you know, internet scam thing with people who get an email and are kind of groomed by some scammer to believe that, you know, they've got a romantic relationship happening and they just keep giving them money.
Yes.
And then kind of like the shades fall from their eyes or whatever, and one day they think, oh, no, I've been ripped off. You know, $300,000 later.
Well, that's something, too, that I've read about with scams, that a lot of people are reluctant to admit to them, that they've been suckered. So,
yeah, yeah.
So it actually helps keep the scams quieter for longer because few people want to publicly embarrass themselves by saying, I was taken in by this and sharing the warning with other people.
I mean, this guy in Omsk, he was obviously happy to, it seems, put up with the public humiliation, if there was any, for the sake of, you know, getting the extra money.
Getting some justice.
Some maximum
justice. As a TV ad in Sydney says. You are listening to The Vulture's Nest. I'm Sean and I'm joined this morning by David and Peter. We've been talking about the so-called magician in Russia who had to not only refund but also pay compensation to a customer after he failed to return the customer's wife with magic.
Mm.
We've got another story coming up for you in just a second about the magic of names.
Ooh.
So
nice
promise
segue.
And I don't think there's any scam involved, but
magic.
We'll pick that apart together. Before we do, though, we are going to take some music. This is Days in the Sun, Wake Owl. You never wanted love. Someone said, boy, guide you on. And it took a while to give them my heart, and all they wanted was more. So let's get out of the
Thom Yorke album Anima is out now. Yorke's most ambitious and assured solo album yet. Thom Yorke Anima, available now on CD, double and deluxe vinyl editions and all digital services. Brought to you by Remote Control. Remote Control sponsors 2SER 107.3.
Love is all we need. Or is it? Enjoy an evening of wit, wisdom and antics at the UTS Great Debate as panellists discuss the universal language of love and all it means. Guaranteed to be an enlightening and entertaining battle of ideas about love with an all-Indigenous lineup, happening Tuesday, July 30 at 5:30pm. For tickets and more information, head to humantix.com.au and search Great Debate. UTS sponsors 2SER.
Hi, I'm Craig Donarski, director of Casula Powerhouse Arts Centre in Liverpool, and we've got so many things for you to be a part of this year. Entry to the centre is always free, and we're open 7 days, except for public holidays. As part of our Giant Leap program, which commemorates 50 years since the moon landing, on Saturday the 27th of July, ground control to Jeff Duff, it's Bowie Unzipped. The only Bowie interpreter endorsed by the Thin White Duke himself, Jeff Duff channels the iconic songs of one of the greatest artists of the last 50 years. Much missed, here's your chance to remember why. Saturday 27th of July, tickets are $40 or $35 concession, available at casulapowerhouse.com.
You are on 2SER 107.3 and you are listening to The Vulture's Nest this morning with Sean, David and Peter. Earlier in the program, we were talking about magic and maybe using magic for not so benevolent ends. The other story that grabbed our attention out of the news this week is about names. What's in a name? I think Shakespeare said...
like vowels and consonants and stuff.
A rose is a rose. I know that's Gertrude Stein, isn't it?
Well, he said something about roses.
A rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Yeah. Which I dispute. I think if you changed the name of a rose to excrement and tried selling a whole bunch of them at a florist, I don't think you'd be able to charge $60 a bunch for them, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it smells nice, but not as nice as that rose.
So anyway, the story that popped its head up for us to have a little bit of a sticky beak at, there's a mother... and believe it or not, in Queensland.
Go Queensland.
Queensland represent. She has asked her friend to change the name of her dog, the friend's dog, because that's the name she would like to use for the child she has on the way.
So, and she's not even a friend. She's an acquaintance.
Well, actually, yeah.
Casual acquaintance.
Beg your pardon. It is an acquaintance, yes. So, Jen A is apparently the neighbour.
No apostrophes.
No. Not that they reproduced in the Daily Mail article, no. So, capital J.
Capital J. Oh, that's good.
E-N-N-A-Y, which I think was probably named after the character in the Forrest Gump movie. Jen A. I love you, Jen A. And Jen A politely refused. So, let's see if we've got the Twitter exchange here. It has been published... ooh, it's good, isn't it? Hi, yeah, I remember. It was a while ago now. How are you and your family, says Jen A. Good, thanks. Actually, I'm pregnant again, and that's why I'm messaging you. Yeah, congratulations, etc. Actually, new baby will be a bit different to the boys. It's a girl. And I'd like if you could change your name of your dog. I'm considering changing my daughter, naming my daughter Tilly. So I don't know which movie that's from.
So what Jen A should have done here is sent an article about Tilly Devine.
Okay. So, she says, I see. Hey, mate, I don't think it's necessary to change my Tilly's name. I don't think you'll ever see her, and I don't think anyone will notice that I've got the same name anyway. And Jen A's acquaintance has replied, I can't express how I feel right now. I'm disappointed and let down in you, Jen A. People say you're a nice person, but I can see you have them tricked. You don't have children. You'll never understand how a mother can love and just want the best for this perfect little person. I'm honestly shocked you're being so heartless and unreasonable. Yeah. You didn't even consider changing the animal's name for my daughter's future. This is going to impact her life and potentially ruin her confidence in life.
I think something else is going to ruin this kid's life.
Can you even imagine growing up having the same name as a mutt? Yeah. Ooh, oh, now we're getting that's out of order.
Do we know what breed Tilly is?
It doesn't say.
Well, it's a good thing that she didn't want to name her daughter Rex, because that would have required a lot of animals to change their name.
Or Rover.
Or Rover.
Yeah. You callously have put me in a terrible position. You're a piece of work and don't deserve your good family. You're ruining a baby's life. Think of what you're doing, Jenna. Your inactions has huge consequence.
Your action or inaction?
Your inaction.
Inaction.
Sorry, your inaction has huge consequence.
This woman's clearly not thinking about the dog's life. How confused is this dog going to be when they call it by some other name?
Yeah.
Who published the Twitter feed? Was it the aggrieved mother-to-be?
No, a outside observer called Craig Pendlebury.
Ah, go Craig.
And he shared it. He said, this is too good not to share this with the rest of the world. So I think he's republished the conversation. It's now got more than 19,000 likes on Twitter.
Right.
It's reported too. Part of me thinks, is this, taking the mickey, is this all made up? And I don't care. I think it's still a good story.
It's still a fun story.
Yeah, let's treat it seriously. Yeah. Yeah.
This actually almost happened to me. I was going to be called Ben.
Ben?
Yeah. And then a couple of days before I was born, my parents realized, oh, hang on, we got a mate with a dog called Ben, and that dog's an idiot. So they just called me Peter.
It didn't occur to your parents to
it wouldn't matter.
To get these people to change
no,
the name of their
dog?
No,
they didn't think, hey, we'll get the people to change the name of the dog. We'll change the name of the kid who hasn't been named yet.
Or born.
Yeah.
And how does this mother know? The presumption is just incredible. She assumes that this person-to-be is going to be perfect.
Yes.
Where does that come from?
She does sound like someone who's... If she's not already on reality TV, she's preparing to be
auditioning.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, this is her audition.
Yeah,
maybe she should call the kid like Khaleesi or Daenerys instead, because that won't wreck her life.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I look
from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all the people have called their kids after that character, and then that thing happened at the end. That's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, like they named their kid in series 3 or 4, not knowing what was going to happen.
Before the turn, which was, if you were paying attention, you would have seen coming from episode 1.
Yes. Well, I bet there's no one called Joffrey.
Yeah, there's no Joffreys.
Nah, he was never good.
Well, we've been lucky enough as well to have Polly with us today in the studio.
Yeah. Did we ask, what did Polly think?
We didn't. So Polly was our canine visitor today. She was extremely well-behaved. So we're grateful for having her here. Are either of you thinking of naming any children Polly in future?
No.
I wasn't,
but
now maybe I will.
Because you were so impressed with Polly?
Polly's a good dog.
Yeah, okay.
I think a kid would like being named after a dog. If that kid met that dog,
there's
hey,
a bond,
we got the same name, they'd be friends.
Yeah.
This woman clearly doesn't understand children.
You can't imagine any animosity
that's
between...
That's what someone said in the story, that they had a child who shared a name with an animal, and when they met the animal, the child's day and probably several more was made by finding an animal with their name. I mean, why wouldn't you be happy?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never... I'm sure my life would have been a little more enjoyable if I'd met a dog called David. I never have. There's still hope.
Yes. So any of our listeners out there, we know we have a lot of listeners with pets, and in fact a lot of pets are even members, subscription members of 2SER. So big
More
shout
intelligent
out,
ones.
A big shout out to them, especially any dogs named David who are listening.
Ruff,
and
ruff.
Dogs named Peter and dogs named Sean. Special shout out for you. You have
and
been
all the dog's not called that.
You have been listening to The Vulture's Nest here this morning. Thank you to my guests, David Polterak.
Ruff, ruff.
And Peter Gleeson.
Thank you, Sean.
Coming up next on 2SER, we've got the best in arts, theatre, music, pop culture and all things creative on So Hot Right Now with Nicole. That's coming up at 11 o'clock. To take us through to the top of the hour, we're going to listen to a bit of Hazy Palaver by Monster Rally. 2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, music.